All right, welcome to the North Street Podcast. I'm here, Ben Hess, one of the pastors here, and
I'm here too, Keegan Wright, another one of the pastors.
All right, and so again, you can actually subscribe to this podcast now. It's on iTunes Podcast. If you have an iPhone, you have the podcast app, you can actually subscribe to it. You look up North Street, that's all. Just North Street. Don't look up North Street Community Church because there's other ones, I guess. But we're just North Street, and you can find us there. And then, yeah. So today, I wanted to, let's get right into it, if you don't mind. We have with us John and Heidi Hickok. And they have been coming here now for a little while to North Street. They've always been at North Street. They came when we were Canton Mennonite, I guess. And John is actually here as an elder. His official position, I guess, as an elder is mentoring elder. Mm-hmm. So he is here to support Keegan and I in our positions at the moment, and that has been helpful, and we're just thankful for that. And then also Heidi, his wife, is one of the welcoming people. So when you walk into the building, oftentimes we have greeters and people like that, and Heidi is one of those who gives people, I don't know, candy.
Yeah.
Sometimes children, sometimes she'll give children candy.
And sometimes she gives me candy too. She does a great job, always makes me feel welcome, and that's one of the highlights of my Sundays, getting to see Heidi's face and the connect with her.
So yeah, always a smile.
Cool. Yeah.
So we're just excited to have them here. And so John, Heidi, welcome.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having us. Good to be a part of podcasts. I like what you're doing in the podcast, people getting to know each other better, and that's always healthy in the church. So yeah, good to be here.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. So I guess one of the first questions I usually ask is kind of who are you? Where are you guys from? Those types of things. How many children you have, if you do have children. I don't need to ask your age. All of that good stuff. So, John, why don't we start with you? Where are you from?
Well, I'm a local boy. Raised here in Canton area. Actually, I was born in Troy Hospital in October of 52. That was a couple months ago. And to my parents, Charles and Velma Hickok. And I think we're living in Shishiquin at that time. If you know where Shishiquin is, that's a peculiar place.
Yeah.
But down there by Ulster. And then we moved our way, what would that be? I guess west of there. Went into Monroton for a while, then Leroy, then West Leroy, and eventually made my way to Canton.
All right.
And with several addresses here in Canton.
Yeah.
And then completed through ninth grade here in Canton. Before I transferred over to the competitor in Troy.
We won't hold that again.
We finished up with our education in Troy before I went on to Bible college. So yeah, I'm a Canton boy. I love being back home. I think you have a greater appreciation for home if you leave for a while and then come back. At least that was true for me.
Well, I did that, and I think that's true. Yeah. I think there's an element of that. I guess Keegan kind of did that
too.
Reach.
Yeah, Brooks and I talked about that, and he said there's something about a lot of kids right out of high school can't wait to get out of Canton. Like, there's nothing in Canton, can't wait to get out. And then there's something that always draws you back.
Amen.
Probably
Amen.
The people. And, yeah.
The community, the fresh mountain air.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe, for me, the fresh mountain air sometimes is laced with farm air, which, you know, has its own memories, I guess.
Yes.
Some of you know what I mean by that.
Depends on which side of the barn you're on.
Yeah. Which way the wind's blowing.
My wife always picks on me. Whenever we smell manure, I always say, smells like home.
Although, you know, I always spent time in Lancaster, too, and it's the same way.
Yeah.
You know? So it's kind of like, okay. Yeah. So what about you, Heidi? When you grew up?
Well, I was born in Connecticut, actually.
Okay.
and we lived there until I was 2 years old, and then we moved to Ballston Spa, New York.
Okay.
Just a little town. It's not so little anymore. They've really, I don't know, grown in size. And we lived there my whole life. My parents were still there. They both recently passed away, but that was my home.
Okay.
And then I went to Nyack College, and that's where I met John.
Okay, so Nyack College. Okay, mm-hmm. And that is that associated with? Well, yeah. Tell me about that a little bit. What? Because you both went. Is that where you guys met?
Yeah, that's where we met. I went to study elementary education.
Okay.
And John was majoring in theology.
Okay. Ooh. So we got a theology buff, theology guy in here. Okay.
Yeah, nice little spot on the Hudson River.
Okay.
In Nyack, New York. Very pleasant and personal type community there. Okay. And the college came out of New York City with Albert Benjamin Simpson as the founder. I hate saying that because God's the founder, but, you know, I guess he used Albert Simpson in some way to bring it to Nyack. And it was originally known as a missionary institute.
Okay.
And then it went to Nyack College while I was there, actually. So when I started, it was Nyack Missionary College, and then when I graduated, it was Nyack College.
Okay.
And so a little bit of a name change. It's no longer there now. Last year or the year before, they transferred back to New York City, where they have a broader opportunity for students to come in, especially internationally, and to continue to do the same work, but in a different location.
Okay. Yeah. So it's, was that a Bible college then?
Yeah, college, but it was also accredited for New York State. For funding purposes, of course, beyond the Bible. So it was also academic. Mm-hmm.
So then, if that's the case, did you guys grow up in Christian environments or not? Or how was that? You know, I guess I ask a lot of people their salvation experiences, and or at least their initial ones, and just curious a little bit about that, a little bit about the journey.
My parents were Christians, so I grew up in a Christian home, and I think I was about 9, and we had Sunday morning services and Sunday evening services at that time, and I remember, to this day, I remember the sermon that the pastor spoke on Sunday night, and I went forward, and that's when I gave the Lord my heart.
Nice.
And, and my mother had also attended Nyack, missionary college then.
Okay.
And so I wanted to go there too. So that's how I ended up at Nyack.
Okay. Cool. Great. So what about for you, John? Your journey to Christ?
A great journey indeed, as they all are, I think. But I had a special situation. My parents were not Christian.
Okay.
For several years, my young years. When I was about 6 years old, my mother and father divorced, and they separated, and I'm thankful for that today, because I believe that's what was needed to motivate my mother to pursue answers in life. And she got connected with a little church by the name of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church on Troy Street in Canton.
Okay, which is still there.
That building is still there.
Yeah.
For sure. I think it's apartments now, so things change in life, but that's where the Lord did a good work in our lives as a family. So my mother started attending, and if the doors were open, we were there. You know, didn't matter if it was Wednesday night, Sunday night, special meeting night, whether we had school the next morning or not, we were in church. So I came under the gospel, preachment of the gospel, under a pastor by the name of Annie W. German. So we had a woman pastor at the church there, and it was through her influence that I heard the gospel and came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Almost, let's see, if it was in 61, Easter of 61. How many years ago was that? So I just celebrated my birthday in Christ recently on Easter Sunday.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so I remember going down the aisle, giving my heart to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I remember getting more serious about the things of God.
Mm.
And I would say I was 11 years old when I felt a distinct call of the Lord upon my heart to enter into full-time ministry. And that's the same year I was baptized in the First Baptist Church of Canton.
Okay.
They had a baptismal. The Alliance Church did not have a baptismal. So we went down there
one
Sunday afternoon, and we got baptized in the Lord and made that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Great.
So that's my early journey, but following the call, I got involved in youth group, and I confirmed my salvation many times with trips to the altar after that, because I just wasn't sure that it was going to stick.
Yeah, yeah.
But it appears to have stuck. And
so now you feel secure? Or...
Yeah, I feel secure in the work of Christ,
yeah,
for sure.
Great.
And we're glad for his work and his influence and mm-hmm. how he has drawn us unto his glorious self and used us through the years.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm. So
awesome. So... You guys mentioned you met at Nyack Missionary College. So what was that like? How did your relationship kind of develop? And yeah, tell us that story.
Actually, my roommate was dating John when I met him.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
But she's actually, it wasn't my fault they broke up. She broke up with him, and she actually introduced us.
Okay. Okay.
Thought we would be good together.
Yeah. So here, you can have him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
So one thing led to another, and let's see, I went to Nyack in 1970.
Okay.
Heidi came along in 72. And then we were married before I actually finished school.
Oh, okay.
In 1974.
Great.
So we're coming up on number 47. You're number 47. Yeah.
Congratulations. Awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Do I have that right, Heidi? Married 47 years?
46? Okay.
Whatever. Yeah, 46. You're right. I blew it again, guys, and it's on tape.
All right. That's perfect. Yes. Word. That's the kind of stuff we like.
Ben likes watching people make mistakes, I guess.
Oh, that's great. All right. Okay. Well, yeah. So you guys were in college, and then after that, you went into the ministry. Is that correct?
That is not correct.
Okay.
I graduated from college in 74, and I had been working to help pay tuition at local businesses, even on campus is where I started out, and then I started working at a exterior car wash in Nyack. And it's kind of... neat how the Lord brought all that together and how I got the job and everything. I had a car on campus and decided one day I was going to go down and get it washed before I went to the on-campus supervisor to see about working for campus maintenance. I said, I got time. I'll go down and wash my car. I paid for the car wash and put my window back up and got ready for a good cleansing on the car. And the door came back open all of a sudden just as I was entering into the initial washing cycle, and the guy said real quick, he says, "You need a job?" And I thought, man, that's really crazy.
Yeah.
And of course, I said a quick yes, and he closed the door, and I came back around, and long story short, it turned into I don't know how many years, probably about 10-year partnership, give or take a year, in the car wash business. But due to the call of the Lord upon my heart in 1980, I just couldn't resist full-time ministry any longer. Yeah. Although I was involved through those years locally, very involved in the local Alliance Church again there.
Okay.
And was used by God for that. But yeah, in May of 1980, I left the business and went into full-time ministry.
Okay. So you guys have a lot of experience from my understanding. And then my... brief, well, and we've had some decent conversations, I would say, in the past, just of your different church experiences. And so I'm just curious if you would just share with us some of your experiences. What are some things, maybe you could highlight a couple difficult things or some good things or whatever. Because I know when you're in ministry for a long time, and I have been comparably short, I would say, I know without a doubt that there have been difficult times and as well as good times, and not so difficult times, maybe I should say. and so I'm just curious about, some of the things over the past that, whatever highlights.
Well, I could share some things about our different church callings, different locations. Started out here in Canton as the assistant at my home church. And they have built a new building just outside of Canton here, Calvary Alliance Chapel. And the pastor there was in need of some additional help and encouragement. And so the opportunity opened up for me to come back and be the assistant pastor here. So I served from May 1980 to September of 1981 at Calvary Alliance. And it was a good experience for me because it put me into a pastoral role to begin with. And I hadn't had pastoral experience before. I mean, I'd preached, but I hadn't pastored. I taught Sunday school. We had a great college and career Sunday school class that Heidi and I were involved in and gave leadership to back in the Nyack area, but really no pastoral experience per se. So the Lord prepared me for that, and I believe that while I was at Canton as an assistant pastor, it was a time when the Lord came upon me in a very unique kind of way, so much so that people began to ask, what happened to John Hickok? And the shy farm boy from years past had all had somehow, in some way, by the power of God, taken on a boldness that just was not there before. And people started saying, what happened? And it was kind of neat. But after that, I was not satisfied to be where I was at. I felt the Lord calling me into more of a senior pastor position. And through the years, I never sought a position per se, other than saying to the Lord, where do you want me? I want to be there. Mm-hmm. And so the superintendent from the district called one day and asked if I'd be interested in taking a church in Wilkes-Barre, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. And I said, well, I said, I'd be happy to pray about it. And he says, well, I need to tell you a little something about the church. Its doors are barely open. And he says, if it doesn't work out with you, we're shutting it down. So I said, well, that's very encouraging.
I said, no pressure.
No pressure. Yeah. But, you know, that really interested me because I thought, what harm could I do? I mean, I could go in there and do anything and it's not going to hurt a thing because they're already at rock bottom, more or less, according to the words of the superintendent.
Yeah. That's
so after prayer and a season of just seeking the Lord's will, we had packed our bags and headed to Wilkes-Barre in September of 1981. And on our first Sunday there, I don't know, what do we have, a couple of children by then, Heidi?
We had two.
So there was me and Heidi, and there were two kids.
And five others.
And five people showed up for the service that first Sunday we were there. So
wow.
We had a total of nine in attendance, counting ourselves. And I don't know, to me, I wasn't fearful. I didn't have any anxiety. There didn't seem to be any pressure. At that time, the Lord gave me a verse out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word. Mm-hmm. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, with all patience and long suffering. And that became my life verse in the pulpit.
Nice.
Just preaching the word.
Yeah.
And so I committed myself to that, preaching the word, loving on the people. And within the 6 years that we were there, the congregation grew substantially. We had to add on to the building. And just the Lord just blessed in many ways. So the doors were not closed. They were open wider. Our Sunday evening service, back when churches had Sunday evening, remember those? Yeah.
I actually do remember some of those. Believe it or not, Canton, a long time ago, we did those. And I don't know that it was every week. I can't remember. I just remember we did them here and there, but yeah. Mm-hmm. So anyway,
we had a Sunday evening service that was larger than our Sunday morning service, and it was because there was such a hunger for the Word of God,
And word got out that the Word of God was being preached there because I was under the impression that I should preach the Word. Right. And so that's what I did. I preached the Word, and all glory to God, it was His Word that was the attraction. And people were just so hungry for that. So the Lord blessed in many ways, and
that's good to hear. That's good to hear, like, that the Word was just being, that there was just such a hunger, because I really believe that today.
Mm-hmm. Amen,
like,
brother.
Like, I think, you know, there's nothing better than just the simple Word of God, and it's alive and active, sharper than any two-edged sword.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The fact that it's living, it's amazing what it does to you when you read it and when you meditate on it and when you memorize it. I've found in my own life when I've done that, just it's amazing what can happen. And yet, you know, sometimes you get distracted a little bit and it's like,
the Word of God never returns to him void. And it's like, yeah, we, especially now, just thinking about everything being stripped away, a lot of stuff being stripped away, we're being reminded of that, of just the Word drawing, and it's what people need, whether we know it or not or recognize it, we need Jesus. And so His Word,
so a lot of people in the district were asking me, like, I had done something. They were asking me, what's your formula, what program are you using? Programs were big back then, you know. Oh, you had to have a program in place. And they would come to me and say, tell us how, what's the secret, what's the dynamic, what's, and I said, I didn't do a thing. I was just faithful to the Lord and preaching to Him. It was in that church that I was ordained. So my first church, ordained in that church, saw good growth in that church, saw the Lord work in miraculous ways in our 6 years that we were there. And just a lot of good things happening in the first church. And I was thankful for that experience, because there's so many pastors today that go into ministry, and it seems like as quick as they go in, they go out.
Yeah.
And because they find these challenges that seem to be insurmountable, and they don't know how to handle them, and maybe they don't have the support that they really need. And I feel for them. I feel bad for them. But the Lord didn't take us down that path. I just trusted Him on a daily basis, and God blessed. I think the hardest thing about ministry there at my first church was in leaving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see that. And yes, you're absolutely right. The percentages of those who begin pastoring to those who quit within the first year and the first 5 years is just astronomical.
Yes, it is.
I don't know that people always realize that, but it is a huge problem, I think, for churches just to find pastors. So I just want to, like, I don't know, this is just a shout out. Anyone who's listening, if you feel the call, just be awake to it. And don't deny that. I think this world is in need of leaders, of shepherds, of people who can lead His church in the direction God wants them to go. And so, that's a big thing.
So we still have contact with those people back there. My first church in 1981 to 87. Mm-hmm. And they're loving the podcasts from here.
Oh, great.
And they're loving the videos that the virus has forced us into, the pandemic. And so I still have a ministry with individuals in that church.
Yeah.
And still have connection there. I've gone back for, you know, special occasions. Whether it be marriages or deaths. But, it was really hard, very difficult to leave that first church.
Well, shout out to you guys then, any of you listening, and thank you for sharing John and Heidi with us.
So, Heidi, I was curious one thing. So you had two kids when you got there, is what I'm hearing. What was life like for you a little bit as far as...
Well, I remember the first Sunday that we went to candidate, you know, they wanted to try us out to see if they wanted us or not.
Yeah.
And I remember praying all the way home, no, Lord, please, not there, not there. I don't want to go there. But the Lord had other plans, which I'm very thankful for, because I really enjoyed it there. I love the people. While we were there, we had 3 more children.
Okay.
So you're up to 5.
So we left when we had 5. Yeah, okay. I think Lindsay wasn't born until after we left. We only had, 2 more when we were there.
Okay, so not 4. Okay.
So we left with, came with 2, left with 4.
Okay,
and nice. Then the next year, Lindsay was born before we took our next church.
Okay.
She was born.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. So, Heidi, I have another question for you. Just curious. So, John said he felt this call to ministry at, what you say, age 11. And so what was that for you? Like, did you feel a call, or when John told you about his call, was that, did that excite you, or did that scare you? Like, how was that?
I don't know. When I was growing up and when I was younger, I always thought it would be awesome to be a pastor's wife.
Okay.
And I played the piano and I thought, oh, this would be good. And I used to, you know, like practice, like I was the pastor's wife and I was playing the piano. Yeah. But as I got older, all the pastor's kids that I knew just didn't really seem to follow the Lord. Mm. And so that sort of made me nervous. And I thought, well, maybe I wouldn't need to marry a pastor. But when I found out John was studying to be a pastor, you know, I think the Lord just sort of changed my heart and said it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And so I just trusted him with that too. And
awesome.
And I really enjoyed being a pastor's wife.
Cool. Yeah, that's great.
So I'll talk a little bit more about challenges maybe in ministry.
Yeah, so challenges.
Yeah, so my first big challenge was, I'd have to say, leaving my first church.
Okay.
That was hard to wrestle through. We took a little break between my first church and second church because of that, I think. I just needed to get reoriented and get back together with the Lord. So then we went to a church plant situation in Carbondale, Illinois. And for those of us who are a little bit older, that is the alma mater of Walt Frazier, New York Knicks basketball player.
Okay.
Some of us may identify with that, some of us may not. But it was a university setting for the church, very transient because of that. So people were coming and going all the time, and extremely difficult. I didn't consider myself a church planter, but once again, someone in the district asked if I would be willing to go there and pastor that church. The church had actually, I did not actually start it from the ground up. It had already been in existence 4 years.
Okay.
And had struggled tremendously. I was the 6th pastor in 4 years.
Whoa.
So talk about challenges.
Yeah.
There was a challenge.
Because there was probably an expectation of some sort already, and then you're coming into a situation where you know there's been a lot of pastors going through there, and so what's going to happen?
Yeah, what's the Lord want to do this time? You know? Foreign ground for me for sure, foreign area. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the temperature. It was hot, muggy most of the time. Yeah. Way down in southern Illinois, it was 15 to 18 hour drive from home. And it was like being a missionary, I think. Although I can't speak on behalf of missionaries, but it was a long ways for me away. So it had its own challenges. It became more of a campus ministry type of basis rather than what we might say normal church operations. And I was only there 2 years. We went from May to May of 90 to May of 92. No, that's not right. Lindsay was born, right? So it was 88. So May of 88 to May of 90, we were there. And then the district felt like, you know, just not working out. Ultimately, the church joined up with it. An existing church in place.
Okay.
And so they came together under the name of the existing church.
Okay.
And so that's how that church has survived, so to speak. So we left there and then we came back to a church that we thought was, you know, something that would be good for us because we had spent ourselves in ministry for about 8 or 10 years at this particular point in time. And so we were looking for maybe a little R&R, a little relaxation. We took another break between churches.
Okay.
And I did some UPS work.
Oh, yeah.
Driving the UPS truck. Got into that a little bit. And so it was a nice change of pace. Got me back into the sense of what laymen feel like and what responsibility a layperson has and versus a full-time ministry. And then again, I got the call. The call was from a church in Port Crane, New York.
Okay.
Our pastor of 13 years has left.
Oh, that's a challenge.
There you go, right? Another challenge. 13 years. He's been there 13 years, and you want me to come? And again, it was through connections from the Wilkes-Barre family that they had family there at Port Crane, and they said, you should get a hold of Hickok. I mean, he's free. He's available. I prayed a little longer on that one, guys.
Yeah.
I prayed a little bit longer on that one, but we did go, and we met with them, and I remember meeting with the search committee there, and they said, you know, if you come, what's your plan? Wow, what's my plan? Don't know this church, don't know the area, other than it's just outside of Binghamton, and that sort of thing. And I said, well, I don't have a plan. I said, what we need to do is put into place God's plan, and we'll work together at knowing and discovering what God's plan is if I come. And that seemed to make the difference for them, because the phone kept ringing at least once a week after that until I finally said, yes, I'll come. And so we went. And it was very refreshing for us there. It was more, for me, it was more like a coasting time rather than something I had to work hard at, because the previous pastor had done a great job. They had built a new building recently. And so it was just a nice setting with a good spirit among the people. Attendance between 150 and 200, and I came in there as a senior pastor and had a couple assistants while we were there, and had a great opportunity to mentor more than one young man, and all of which entered into ministry. And so it was just a great time. Just, it was like, if I can say it, being on vacation with the Lord in ministry. And so I really appreciate it out there. Yeah, so that was a highlight. That was a good time.
Nice, nice.
Then from there, Montvale, New Jersey, we were there 7 years, and then came back to Sylvania Presbyterian Church. So what, I've been a Methodist, I've been Alliance, I've been Evangelical Free, I've been Presbyterian. And now, what am I now?
You're sort of Mennonite.
Yeah, sort of. Sort of Mennonite.
Sort of, we could say. Oh, that's great.
There it is in short term.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, like, what are some things, just overarching things, I guess, of some things maybe that you've learned, and maybe themes that God has impressed on you. I'm just curious for both of you, really, as, you know, I'm sure Heidi moving around different places wasn't always the easiest with children and all of that. I mean, I know from a little bit of experience that I have, and you know, and talking to my wife about that, and then, you know, with you, John, with all the different positions you've had, all the different interactions, relationships, and churches, and just the different areas. Yeah, I'm just curious about some of what God has just impressed. I do have to admit, like, so whenever I talk to John, I know. Just his, how do I say it? The sovereignty of God is so often in my mind something he alludes to. And I wonder, is that just because of all of your experiences and that kind of thing?
Just wondering. Well, I would say yes and no to that, Ben. I mean, I certainly learn more about the sovereignty of God through ministry and some of ministerial challenges. There are a lot of times, hours upon hours, when there was a question in my heart as to whether or not this is the will of God, this is the way God wants us to go. And whenever I was in that place in ministry, that's when I had the highest degree of anxiety. Because I just didn't know what God wanted. But as soon as I came to the point where it had been affirmed in my heart what God wanted, then it's almost like, I hate to compare myself to the Lord this way, but when Jesus knew that there was no getting away from the cross, it was a done deal. When I knew that this was God's will, whatever it was, in any given church or going to any given church or leaving any given church, I was good with that. No anxiety, no frustration, just joyful in Jesus and happy to do his will. So in that respect, yes, the sovereignty of God, when it hit my heart and I knew that this was God's plan, I was good. And there were no difficulties or problems with that whatsoever. So yeah, every ministry has its challenges, whether you're a pastor of a church or you're a leader of a community organization, Christian organization, or otherwise, you're going to face these challenges.
Yeah.
But yeah, sovereignty of God is good. He always seemed to give me an annual verse for the year.
Oh, that's cool.
And this year is Exodus 14:14, where the Lord says, I will fight for you. You just need to be still.
Hmm. Hmm.
And I can tell you a lot of stories about that already. Even though it's early in the year, I have stories to tell that I just needed to be still and God would take care of it. Yeah. Some of you guys have heard some of those stories already.
Yeah, I think I know.
Yeah. So, yeah, God's good that way. But yeah, always had a peace of where God wanted me to be. And I think that was the key. The first step is you got to know this is where God wants you. Mm. And that gives you the empowerment to speak boldly, to move forward boldly, to do what needs to be done without apology, because you know this is where God wants me.
Yeah.
And that has a lot to do with it. Yep.
What about you, Heidi? Do you have anything to share in that way?
You know, like I said, I grew up in a Christian home, always involved in the church, never really knew anything different. Mm-hmm. And each church had its own special challenges for me. Mm-hmm. Situations where God taught me great life lessons. Mm-hmm. And I can just say that, you know, each one just drew me closer and closer to God. And I experienced some struggles and went through some things that made me totally depend on God. Mm-hmm. And I had always, you know, said, you know, ever since I was little, you know, in my prayers, I would always pray, you know, Lord, I love you. Just let me love you more. Mm-hmm. And then being in the ministry and seeing different things that people went through, I sort of questioned myself, you know, this lady is really struggling and I can't believe what she's had to go through. And I always thought, if I had to go through something like that, what would I do? You know, would my faith still be strong? Mm-hmm. You know, did I know that I was going to depend on God for certain things? Yeah. And, you know, so I did it. I experienced some of those things while we were in the ministry. And God proved to me that I was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
And I really did love him. I didn't just love the church. I loved God.
Yeah.
And like I said, he brought me through some things that really tested my faith. Yeah. And I was able to say, even through all that, you know, I love you. Just let me love you more.
Hmm. So what a testimony then to just the faithfulness of God in all of that. And just and then seeing you guys where you're at now, it's like, wow. So yeah, what are you guys up to right now? Like, what, where are you at now with everything? I mean, I know, you know, you're involved here, John, with mentoring Keegan and I, and being a part of the elder group, and your involvement, Heidi, with the church, and I know you're busy with family at home and things like that. So yeah, what are you guys up to that way?
Well, we got excuse me, we got a lot going on, at least in my life, you know. Of course, relationship with the Lord is primary.
Yeah.
And spending time with him, walking with him, talking with him. Lately he's been waking me up a lot, right around the 2 o'clock hour in the morning. I just lay there in bed and we have conversation about anything. Just depends on what the subject of the morning is. And so I get a lot of peace in that relationship with the Lord. But as far as putting hands to it, like you said, Ben, I'm involved in eldership, thoroughly enjoy that, and participating with the brothers here in the church. And I've been involved to some degree with Sunday school teaching and the Outdoor Adventure Club, which is on sabbatical right now, but I enjoyed what part I played in that along the way. Audio, video, I have a passion for playing with that, messing around with that.
So. Yeah, and actually I should say, sorry for the interruption, anybody who knows John knows he has like a servant's heart, all right? So that's how I would characterize, like, you are so willing to serve. And I see that in the AV, I see that in the Oak, I see that in all of these areas that you're just like, yes, you know? And sorry.
No, I totally what you're saying, Ben, is it's hard for me to say no.
I was going to say, if anyone out there is a good like English teacher or something, can teach John to me of the word no, that would be good.
There you go, right? I'm sure our families would appreciate it, Keegan. Yeah, but healing journey, I mean, another highlight. Yeah, I mean, that's 29 weeks commitment, but the blessing and the richness that comes out of the healing journey, the men's Bible study, which is on pause again, but, you know, and certainly the mentoring is just, that rejoices my heart. Occasional opportunity still to preach the word. I'm so satisfied with that, and to find that to be a rich blessing to my heart. I'm involved in a prison ministry and retirement home ministries. I thoroughly enjoy that, probably because I'm a people person and I just love being around people.
Yeah.
And bringing joy to the frowns of life, which is very important to me. Beyond that, I do a lot of, I guess what you'd call secular work. I get involved in DISH and DirecTV services. I was a field service manager for quite a while, a few months after I left the church in Sylvania. I'm a certified Pennsylvania State Vehicle Safety Inspector, whatever that means. PA certified school bus driver trainer. Certified residential ISP, internet service provider, installer, and a bunch of other things. But it's just great to be alive in Jesus, to know the love of the Lord, to have a passion for the things of God, and to have that all sealed by the work of Jesus Christ, and to know it in the depths of your soul. Yeah. And that's what pushes me on. It gives me an energy that I probably otherwise wouldn't have. And it all goes back to Jesus Christ and my relationship with Him, and being obedient. So many people are not obedient. They accept the Lord, but then they struggle with obedience. But obedience is the seal that gives you the energy to do all and be all that you can be for Jesus Christ.
So I like that, 'cause to me, you know, you're saying that. Well, I hear one thing. You know, you said secular work, but really, it's all the same in some ways. And I know, because I've heard stories about your interactions in different areas with different people that you come across, whether it's installing DISH TV or driving a school bus, or, you know, just all these different aspects where it's just like you are, You're living and breathing as a witness for Christ wherever you go and whatever you're doing. And I appreciate that.
Yeah, that's a great blessing right back at you though when you do that sort of thing. It's just wonderful to be able to share and to encourage someone's heart in that way. Oh, I drive school bus too, Ben? Is that what you said?
Well, you periodically. Maybe not right now because coronavirus. But
take a little break from that too, but it's just amazing. I mean, what the Lord does and how He prepares you if you're just willing to be obedient. And I'll give you one quick story. When you walk into somebody's house because they're having a TV signal issue with their dish, it doesn't matter what the TV signal issue is. That'll get fixed eventually. But you walk into that house and they start crying. What? They're crying? Now what? Something I said, something I did, was I not supposed to be here? And then they begin to pour their heart out about how they just lost their spouse or their child or something like that. And it just opens the door wide open for the love of Jesus Christ. And I wasn't there for spiritual ministry. I was there for quote-unquote secular ministry. But like you suggested, Ben, the secular becomes spiritual.
Yeah.
And is there really then in that sense any secular
activity out there? No, it's all for Jesus.
Yeah, whatever. But we know what you mean when you say yes. Okay. What about you, Heidi? I know, so we didn't even talk about all the children, but I know you're...
Well, the Lord has truly blessed us with 9 children.
All right.
And right now we have 16 grandchildren. Yeah. So two of our granddaughters are step-granddaughters, but we love them just as well. So we have 8 girls and 8 boy grandchildren. And John's 92-year-old mother lives with us.
Okay.
So right now, much of my time is spent taking care of her. Yeah. And like I said, I get to babysit a lot and just love it, loving them and loving being around them. And we actually right now have my youngest daughter is still at home with us. And she has a friend, a girlfriend, that actually was homeless, and she's staying with us now too.
Yeah.
So that the Lord has just really allowed us to, you know, just love on people and just show them our love and really blessed us.
Well, thank you so much. So so just a couple of final things. We usually wrap up with coronavirus, just because that's the hot. I mean, everybody knows about it. Seems like. And we're all. Oh, you never heard of coronavirus?
No.
Go ahead. It's this thing, happening in the world. Yeah. So, has your life changed in any way? Just curious.
I love your innocence, Keegan. Has my life changed? Yeah, I think our lives change every day, for good or for bad. And, in this pandemic, the Lord has reminded me of verses I probably would not have otherwise remembered or bothered to look up. But I think that's true with a lot of things for a lot of us. The pandemic has opened up an opportunity for us to reevaluate our walk with the Lord and what we really believe about our relationship with Jesus Christ. And for me, it's just a reaffirming that God's got this.
Mm-hmm.
And in Psalm chapter 91, verse 7, it says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, mm-hmm. but it will not come near you. Mm-hmm. As we think about life and living, you know, we know in our heads that there's coming a day when we shall die.
Yeah.
But that day is not going to happen until the Sovereign Lord declares that it's going to happen. It's already written in the book. It's already on the schedule, but it won't happen until he has determined that it would happen. So God's got this. And I don't think we need to be afraid or fearful about anything in our lives, whether it's financial, whether it's our health, whether it's some world virus like we're experiencing now. Because God does have this.
Yeah.
And another little twist to that is that we are crucified with Christ, therefore we're dead. If we're dead, why are we afraid of dying?
Mm.
We're already dead. And being dead in Christ is to live in Christ. And so the Lord has just been hitting me between the eyes again with just things like that. You know, you don't have to worry about nothing. This isn't any different than yesterday or the day before that, or it won't be any different than tomorrow. Because I've got this. And then he'll take me back to Exodus 14. I will fight for you. You just need to be still. And that's where I'm at.
Nice. Nice. What about for you, Heidi? Is anything... I mean, I know it's all over the news and everything. And
not a whole lot has changed. I get to go to the store now, and I go for... like my other family members, because they have little kids and they're not supposed to be out. So like, we'll go shopping for our daughter and her family. And I don't get out as much, but you know, it's been good. A few years ago I had cancer, and the Lord took me through that, and that was such a blessing, because I got to spend so much time in bed and just, you know, dwelling on the Lord and reading, and you know, and so now with the coronavirus, I feel like I'm closed in again. Yeah. And so I've been taking my time in the morning and just spending more time with the Lord, and it's been good. It's been a blessing.
Oh, that's so crazy.
To be secluded again. Yeah.
I was just talking with someone this morning about that a little bit, about, you know, it's really forcing a lot of people to slow down. Mm-hmm. And for some people, not so much. It's stressing people out. And I was talking, I was reminded last night at elders meeting, it came out of my mouth at some point, you know, just this thing of like, well, maybe this is just the season that God has us in, and that's okay. Like it's okay maybe not to have the weekend services, but it gives us opportunity to be in, you know, more of a calm state, hopefully, meditating on God's word and thinking about these things and just understanding ourselves better in that way, because everything's, you know, a little bit more, how do you say, just it's a little different, you know. You can't, you don't go out as often, and you're forced to recognize who you are. So yeah, so okay, that's good. Any other thoughts, any other things you want to share?
Well, we can be transparent on this.
Yeah.
Oh, good. So I do have a fear, and you guys can be praying with me about this fear. And then the fear is that the Lord would call me away from North Street. And that would be very difficult for me and Heidi to leave North Street, go to another ministry or another calling or another opportunity. And so I'm dealing with that. I don't know why. I don't know if the Lord has some kind of plan in mind, or if it's just the humanity in John Hickok that's getting in the way and needs to be put in place. But yeah, we love it here. We love serving the people of God here. I love working with you guys. It just rejoices my heart. And I love the family of God in this place. And I just think it's great.
Good. Well, we love you guys, and are so appreciative of everything that you guys, I mean, yeah, just all that, who you are, I guess, is what I want to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not just what you do, because you do a lot, but who you guys are for this family here it's been really good. And I remember I was living out in Colorado, and I remember my mom talking on the phone about this guy, the Hickok family. They started coming, and you know, there's other people coming because, they got children and all this stuff. And I was like, that's interesting. I'll have to meet this Hickok family. I had no idea, you know, eventually that we'd be working together in this way. But God knew, I guess.
Amen. So, God knew.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for coming. Thanks for being willing to share and just... it's been great. I don't know if Keegan has anything else.
No, yeah, thank you guys just for being who you are in Christ, and the example's been awesome. And just one side note, I had the privilege of, for about a year, working with your son Timmy, and that was some of the best times of my life. So thanks for
Timmy's a great kid.
He is. Yeah. So.
Well, they all are.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they all are.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us. It's been great to be here.
Now, all right. I'll close in prayer then. And thank you guys for listening. And I hope that you have that you're just built up in the Lord, and that this can be a time of connecting and encouraging one another. So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for just for John and Heidi, and for the fact that we could interview them. Thank you for the life experiences you've given to them, and how we all can benefit from that now. I just thank you for that. And I just ask that as each one of us walks this life, that we would just be overcome by your peace that is inexplainable. This peace that passes all understanding, that as we live our lives, as we walk each and every day in your ways, and even if it's so-called secular work, Lord, we know you're there with us, that we can share you, that we can just be an impact on the world because of who you are and the love that you've given us. Mm-hmm. So we just thank you for that, and I ask that you would just empower each one listening as they walk in this world.
Yes.
May they be able to spread the love and peace of Christ to all. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen.
Thanks.
Amen.
All right, well, thanks for listening. Bye.